Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, October 29, 2023, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, Romans 6, verses 15 and 16 sound like this. Verse 15, therefore, what are we to conclude? Shall we sin because we are not under the Mosaic law but under grace? Meganoita, emphatically not. That is totally unthinkable. Verse 16, so far, sounds like this. Do you not know that the one to whom you place yourselves under orders, under authority as slaves, for the purpose of obedience, and then we pick up, his servants ye are when ye obey. That's, we always start with the King James. This is the present active indicative of the to-be verb eimi, plus the noun or plural of doulos, plus the dative singular of the relative pronoun hos, once again with the present active indicative of hoop akuo. We had hoop akoe, first clause, the noun, now we have the verb hoop akuo. Start out with present active indicative of the to-be verb eimi. Looks like that in the Greek, E-I-M-I. And you translate this, you are, you are. And then the nominal plural of doulos. Looks like that in the Greek, D-O-U-L-O-S. That's the Greek word slave. It's in the plural, slaves. And then the dative singular of hosts once again. And now you're already clued in on this, you learned something. I just learned it for the first time in 47 years. And that is, once again, the demonstrative pronoun is concealed within the relative pronoun, and it should be correctly translated to that one whom. To that one whom. That's Arnton Gingrich, The Greek Lexicon, page 587. To that one whom, and now we have the verb hupakuo. Looks like that in the Greek, H-U-P-A-K-O-U, long O, hupakuo. And as I pointed out last time, it's actually a compound word made up of a preposition hupa, which means under, and then akuo, which means to hear or to listen. To hear or to listen. So literally it means to listen under authority. To listen under the authority of someone. And it means therefore to obey, to follow, to be subject to. It always has the meaning of obedience to duly constituted authority. So the corrected translation, you are slave to that one whom you habitually render obedience. You are slaves to that one whom you habitually render obedience. And now, We have the two options in the rest of the verse. Two options you can obey. Option number one, whether of sin unto death. That's not the one you want to pick. Whether of sin unto death. This is the particle hetoi plus the genitive singular of hamartia plus the prepositional phrase ace plus the accusative of thanatos. Now, this is great Greek. This is why if you have the gift of pastor teacher, you need to prepare for the ministry. And when I recognized that God had given me the gift of pastor teacher, Pastor Breckel at Bethany Bible Church helped me fill out an application for Dallas, and he gave me an encouragement. He said, Dick, when you go to Dallas Seminary, you're preparing for the ministry. He says, you get as much Greek and Hebrew you can possibly get. The Old Testament written in Hebrew and Aramaic and New Testament and Koine Greek, Common Greek. You get as much Greek and Hebrew as you can possibly get. And one other thing. You're not growing up spiritually while you're at seminary. All you're doing is getting the tools. You're just getting the tools. So that means you have to be getting the teaching of the Word of God every day in your own soul while you're at seminary. Otherwise, you're going to be 4 years into reversionism when you graduate. So you need to be getting the teaching of the Word of God every day for the 4 years you're there at Dallas Seminary. So, both of those I took to heart. And every single day, and this was back, I know you don't even know what this is, reel to reel. And I listened to Bible class reel to reel every single day to get fed the Word of God so that I got fed the Word of God. And then I majored in Hebrew, minored in Greek, and to learn as much of the languages that the scriptures were written in. You see, I have three Bibles up here. I have Scofield King James, and I have an NASB and an NIV. They're all translations. They're all translations. The God-breathed scriptures, Theopneustos, God of the Holy Spirit, the God-breathed scriptures are in the original languages, in Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek. And so the reason why Pastor Breckel said you get as much Greek and Hebrew as you can so that when you're studying, you study from the Greek and Hebrew. You don't study from English text. You study from the Greek and Hebrew. So you know exactly what God the Holy Spirit was putting down here so you can feed God's sheep the God-breathed scriptures. And so, yeah, and I know, all of you know, I'm slow as molasses in winter. But I go through word by word, verse by verse, so that when I stand up here, I'm not teaching you some dream I had during the night or something. I'm teaching you exactly what God the Holy Spirit intended to be put down in the Word. Now we have something. Isn't that great? Look at that. Is that not? Etoi. Eta. Etoi. Eta. Now when you see this, this introduces a clause that you translate starts out either. And then the next clause will be or. Either or. The two options. So etoi eta introduces the two options, and it's going to be either or. And there are believers that have walked down the path of either, and unfortunately, they have gone through maximum discipline from God. Warning discipline, intensive discipline, and dying discipline, and they died the sin unto death. Lots of believers have done that. And we're going to take a look at some of the believers that have done that in the Bible. And then the other thing is the or. The or is walking down the path of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, attaining spiritual maturity, having virtue love brought to completion in your heart, and you come under phenomenal grace blessing from God. Now there are believers that have done the either path, and there are believers that have gone down the or path. So we're going to take a look at these two paths. You don't want to go down this one. You don't want to go down that one. You want to go down this one. Okay. So either presents option number one, or presents option number two. And then we have hamartia. H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A. That's the Greek word for sin. When you have it in the plural, it talks about personal sin. We don't have it in the plural. We have it in the singular, and then it refers to the sin nature. The sin nature. And the genitive case of hamartia is the objective genitive, serves as the object of the verb hupakuo, to obey. And the corrected translation is either to obey the sin nature. You have a choice. You can obey the sin nature with its lust patterns. Now we have the second use of ace plus the accusative. Remember the first use? Introduce what? Purpose clause. Now we have the second use of ace plus the accusative. And what does it do? Introduces a result clause. So the first time was a purpose clause, now a result clause. So, and what is the result? Now in this clause, it introduces the result which is resulting in thanatos. Result in death. T-H-A-N-A-T-O-S. Thanatos. Word for death. And here it refers to maximum divine discipline from God on the believer in Jesus Christ, the sin unto death. So, the first option, either to obey the sin nature resulting in death, the sin unto death. So option number one, and there's a lot of believers that have gone down this path. Either to obey the sin nature resulting in death, the sin unto death, or, now we have option number two, or of obedience unto righteousness. This is the disjunctive particle eta, plus the genitive singular of hupakoe, again, which we had before, plus the prepositional phrase ace plus the accusative of dikaiosune. All right. So you now already know this. Now we got the eta. Option number two. So eta introduces option number two. You translate it or. And then hupakoe, which we've already had, and hupakoe is obedience, means obedience, and the preposition ace plus the accusative again introduces a result, resulting in dikaiosune. That's the right path. D-I-K-A-I-O-S-U-N, long E. Dikaiosune, that's the Greek word righteousness. And here it refers to grace righteousness or spiritual maturity. Or, option number two, or obedience, and it's obedience to whom? They're either going to be obedient to the authority of the sin nature, or obedient to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is now the authority for you as the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are you going to obey? Are you going to obey the sin nature with its lust patterns? Are you going to obey the Lord Jesus Christ? Or obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ resulting in grace righteousness, spiritual maturity. Now you see, this is, he's just continuing what he taught back in verse 13. Verse 13 says, stop placing your members under authority to the sin nature as weapons of unrighteousness, but put yourselves under authority of God, the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as weapons of righteousness to God. So he's amplifying what he's already presented in verse 13. So now verse 16 sounds like this. Do you not know that the one to whom you place yourselves under orders, under authority, as slaves for the purpose of obedience, you are slaves to that one whom you habitually obey. Either the sin nature resulting in death, the sin unto death, or the Lord Jesus Christ resulting in grace righteousness, spiritual maturity. Now, unfortunately, today, many believers choose option number one. Sad. But they have a free will. You have a free will. You have a volition. You can either put yourselves under authority to the sin nature or under authority to the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, today, many believers choose option number one. They put themselves under orders to the sin nature. When the sin nature sends temptations to sin up to the guardian of your soul, your volition, they say yes to the temptation and sin. And at this point, the believer has placed himself back into slavery to the sin nature. The sin nature with its lust patterns. He has placed himself under the authority of the sin nature, and now the sin nature controls his life. At the same time, the sin nature, as Satan's inside agent, causes the believer to be entrapped in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. The ultimate result of living in Satan's cosmic system is maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death. Now the Bible talks about this maximum divine discipline of the sin unto death in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So let's take a look at what the Bible has to say about this. What does the Bible have to say about the sin unto death? First of all, point one is documentation. Let's start out by going back to the Old Testament. Psalm 118. Psalm 118, 18, starting at verse 17. Now, the author of Psalm 118 is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously. And he has made a lot of bad decisions in his life. He has made a lot of bad decisions to sin and then get out of fellowship with God. He made a lot of bad decisions to get involved in Satan's cosmic system. And he went through warning discipline. He went through intensive discipline. And he was getting real close to dying discipline, sin unto death. So he says in verse 17, I will not die, but live. And will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has disciplined me severely. The Lord has disciplined me severely. Warning discipline, intensive discipline, getting close to dying discipline. But he has not given me over to death, the sin unto death. That's the last stage. You start out with warning discipline. And then if you don't wake up and learn from that, then God increases it to intensive discipline. And if you don't wake up and learn from that, then he places you under dying discipline. Now, there are people that when they've been placed under dying discipline, they finally woke up. They finally realized that what they were doing was 100% wrong. And they stopped. They used the problem-solving device of rebound. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. They realized it and they recovered. And that's where this individual is. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but He has not given me over to death. The sin unto death. Now turn back to Psalm 7. Psalm 7. All right, let's start at verse 14. And some of you guys in here, you're not going to say, I can't do this. He who is pregnant. For some of you, that's all you saw. So, he who is pregnant. I don't know about that. Although today, you never know anymore. He who is pregnant with evil and conceives trouble gives birth to disillusionment. He who digs a hole. This is what happens when you make bad decisions to get out of fellowship with God, to live your life in slavery to the sin nature with its lust pattern. When you are living in Satan's cosmic system, you know what you're doing? You're digging a hole for yourself. You're digging a hole. He who digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit that he has made. And that's the ultimate dying discipline, the sin unto death. He who digs a hole and scoops it out, what's the end of that? Well, the sin unto death. You fall into the pit that you have made. The trouble he causes recoils on himself. His violence comes down on his own head. On his own head. All right, let's go to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 11. And 1 Corinthians 11 is a verses 17 to 34 is looking at the Lord's table, the communion service. And in God's eyes, the communion service is very, very important. By the way, next Sunday is communion. Next Sunday, the Lord's table. And in God's eyes, the Lord's table is very, very important. And it's so important, he's given instructions and he said, when you come to the Lord's table, you make sure you're in fellowship with God. You make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. And then he explains why. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord, this is the Lord's table, the communion service, in an unworthy manner. What's an unworthy manner? You have unconfessed sin in your life. You're out of fellowship with God. You are, if you're out of fellowship with God, you have been entrapped in Satan's cosmic system. So he says here, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. What does that mean? What is the body and blood of the Lord? What happened on the cross? On the cross, God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world. All the sins you committed on this side of the cross, all the sins you committed as an unbeliever were gathered up and poured out on Christ. All the sins you commit on this side of the cross as a believer, they were poured out on Christ and judged. All the sins of the world were gathered up, poured out on Christ. What was Jesus Christ? He took on true humanity. Now we have Christmas is just around the corner, but you all know that God wants you to have Christmas every single day. In His plan, God wants you to have Christmas every single day. When you are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, when you are growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you're going to have Christmas every single day. But the greatest miracle, the greatest miracle that this world will ever see was on that very first Christmas. The eternal Son of God left heaven through the incarnation and virgin birth. He came into the world. He took on true humanity. Why did he take on true humanity? Because deity can't go to the cross and die. He took on true humanity to go to a cross and pay the penalty for the sins of the whole world. All the sins you committed as an unbeliever and all the sins you commit as a believer. He paid the penalty for all of them. And that's the body of Christ on the cross and the blood of Christ. The salvation work of the Lord Jesus Christ in those 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m. 3 hours of darkness and judgment when the Father gathered up the sins of the world, poured them out on Christ, and then judged them in Jesus Christ once and for all. You see, that means everything. That means everything to God. And that's what you come for communion service. That's what you come to celebrate. This right here, what the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, it means everything. But there are believers, it doesn't mean a thing at all. It doesn't mean anything. And they assemble and they're out of fellowship with God, unconfessed sin in their life. They're living in Satan's cosmic system. The person and the work of Christ doesn't mean a damn thing to them. And as a result of that, it means everything to God. Everything. And so he says, therefore, Whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, unconfessed sin is in his life, you're out of fellowship with God, will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. And therefore, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. What are you examining yourself for? To see if there's any unconfessed sin in your life or not. To see if you're in fellowship with God or not. You ought to examine yourself before you eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord, the person and the work of Christ on the cross, he eats and drinks judgment on himself. Judgment on himself. And that is why many among you are weak, warning discipline, and sick, intensive discipline, and a number of you have fallen asleep, dying discipline. But if we had judged ourselves, rebound, make sure we're in fellowship with God, we would not have come under judgment. Now I look forward to communion. We have it once a month. That to me is the greatest, the best of the best communion. I look forward to that every single month. I look forward to that intensified fellowship with God the Father and with our Lord Jesus Christ. It means everything to me. And I know it means everything to many of you too, and as it should. But God takes that to be something very, very important in the eyes of the Lord. Turn over to 1 John 5. Verse 16. If anyone sees his brother, fellow believer, committing a sin, not unto death, the sin unto death, he shall ask and go to prayer, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin, not unto death, the sin unto death. But there is sin unto death. And this isn't just one sin. This is a life of living in Satan's cosmic system. A life of reversionism. There is sin unto death. And I do not say that you should make requests for him. So, the Word of God documents the fact that there is maximum divine discipline called, we call it sin unto death, dying discipline. That's documentation. We'll pick it up here and explain this in detail next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.